This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Another Saints season is in the books. The black and gold go out on a sour note, though, losing 19-17 in Atlanta in the finale. We're here at the point after. You can chime in, folks, with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Give his thoughts. Share your thoughts with him, 504-260-1870 on our talk and text line. Cajun Cannon, man, oh, man, we talked about a little, obviously, at the half, another slow start for the Saints, but that fight is there with the team. We saw them battle all the way to the end, and sure, they were shorthanded, and you want to look at the silver linings, but overall, still losing is disappointing.
Yeah, and especially when you lose to the Falcons. You know, when you look at it, you always want to take care of business, and really, half the games have been decided by 7 points or less. We've had their number since Katrina, 26-14 now. But they have the slight edge. We have 56 wins. They have 57. So
they took the lead in the all-time series now.
Yeah, yeah. And then next year, I can tell you right now, I'm going to predict, I don't know, we're going to split. To say you're going to sweep, that's hard to do. But no, you don't want to get swept.
And we swept the division champs.
Yeah, yes, and it just goes to show you, I mean, we should hold the organization's feet to the fire, and hey, we got to win the NFC South next year, because, you know, if you can somehow figure out to have a winning record or double-digit wins, you can end up being division champs. Then you get to host a playoff game. But look, it's the first time the Falcons have swept the Saints since 2016. So it's almost a decade, you know, they finish on a four-game winning streak. But Deuce and I, we had all talked about this at the beginning. You cannot afford to lose the turnover battle. And if you look now, the Saints are minus four for the season. The Falcons are plus five. And then when you look at it, you can't have a punt blocked. You know, those kind of things. I know one thing. I think we have to get better at the punter situation. Look, net punting average, you know, they basically had a first down and a half better, so you're talking about flipping the field and hitting yardage. On net punting was 35.4, theirs was 50.3. Now, that'd be interesting to see. We're going to have Dante Pettis. I think he did a formidable job, but to try and find another diamond in the rough like Rashid Shaheed being a game breaker in the return game, can you find that kind of player? Now, you know, you look at the glass half full instead of half empty. We are going to play a four-play schedule next year. So that should benefit the Saints. You know, when you look at it, we're going to have the eighth pick. You know, so you try to look at some positives at 6-11. That's where we finish. And I remember the draft. I said, I might be the same song and dance. When we won five games, yeah, we can win five or six games. That's what I said at the draft. Then after training camp, I was like, oh, I don't know. It might be more like a set of 5-6, more like 4-5, with six being tops. Well, that's what happened. You know, it's not guaranteed, but like, for instance, I picked one of my dark horses this year. Well, two of them in the AFC, the Colts. Look at the first half of the season they had, then everybody got hurt, and they wasn't the
same
team.
You looked unbelievable picking the first half.
And then the Seahawks. Look, they're the number one seed.
Yeah.
But then who I really thought would get there just shows you the NFL. I said, I don't know. We could finally beat a Baltimore Ravens time.
I was a Ravens believer, too.
You know, kind of looking at, I don't know, Ravens-Packers Super Bowl, or maybe underappreciated Yankees from up north, Lions-Bills Super Bowl. You know, we got to see how it's going to play out. But it just goes to show you how tough it is. Now, and I thought I predicted this, and we had an opportunity to go 4-2. We would go 3-3 in the division. I can tell you right now, that's the bottom of us going 3-3 in the division. You need to be 4-2, if not 5-1. It's hard to say you could be 6-0. But I'd say right now, for sure we're going to be 3-3. But we need to be like 4-2 in division. And ultimately, if you're 5-1, I think because of the fourth place schedule, we have a great chance to win the NFC South. Now, the one thing that's puzzling, because it's a game of inches. You know, you hear that cliche that when you have opportunities to make field goals, you have to make it. And you might say, well, Bobby, no, we got to get touchdowns. But yeah, but when the game's close, you got to make those field goals. When you look how the season has unfolded, okay, 40-plus yard field goals. You think like today's kicker, oh, come on, you got to make that. While our opponents, you're never going to be 100%. You want to be 100%. They were 9 of 11. We were 50%, 5 of 10 from 40-plus yard field goals. Now, I just count the points there. We're 5 of 10, they're 9 of 11. Then you look at 50-plus yard field goals. You know what our opponents were? 10 for 10. If it was 50-plus, they didn't miss a kick. 10 for 10, we were 7 of 12. Man, that's a lot of points you're leaving out there. And again, when you look up, like, okay, well, the Saints did cover. Charlie, I'm sorry, but they did cover. You know, when you look, three and a half backdoor cover, you know, all that kind of stuff doesn't mean anything, but it just shows you how close it is. And now, Las Vegas, they kind of know what they're doing, you know, to break it down. I thought this is very encouraging. I didn't think this happened before the game. We averaged 4.2 yards a carry. Tyler Shuck runs do count. And they averaged 2 yards a carry. I would not have thought that we'd have done that against the likes of the 1-2 punch with Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. No, Bijan Robinson averaged 2.2, Allgeier 2.3. No, we stopped him. They did not run the ball. Bijan Robinson had 43 total yards from scrimmage. Now, in November against us, he had rushed for 70 yards. That was his lowest total in the last 8 games. So he ain't done jack against us. As great as Bijan Robinson is, We are a Bijan killer.
Love seeing that.
Yeah. And that's something because he ain't going nowhere. He's going to be around. Like, for instance, in the five previous matchups, we've done it. It's not just a small sample size. Five previous matchups. In 2 games, he had 28 yards rushing against the Saints. So now he had 33. So you look at now, one of those 28-yard rushing games, he had 103 yards receiving. Today he had 10 yards receiving on 3 receptions. So, no, that game plan, you got to give Brandon Staley, the defense, a lot of credit. Carl Granderson was an animal out there. And that bodes well because he's under contract. And what we're paying him, bang for your buck. You look at Chase Young. Chase Young, 6 total tackles, 1.5 sacks, 2 quarterback hurries, 2 tackles for loss, pass defending. So now he's had 10 sacks in the season and he missed 5 games. Again, I'm not tooting my own horn, but I guess I am. I told you he was going to have double-digit sacks. What I saw in training camp.
Despite missing 5 games.
Yes, that we were struggling to block him in practice. You know, it was good practice for like Banks, like, man, or whoever was going against him. But then when I saw him do against the Rams, I was like, no, this he's going to have, what I mean, not just get to 10, but have like, around 12. I'm not saying like Myles Garrett and have 22, 23, but about 12 plus if he's available the whole season. So Chase Young, outstanding. Carl Granderson, Cam Jordan, Drinkman the Fouth of Ute. Now, he came into the game, 9.5 sacks. He has 10.5 for the season, 2 quarterback hurries, 2 tackles for a loss. So a lot of guys that we're familiar with really stepping up. Double D had ended up being 3rd in tackles, you know, with 6, when you look at all that. Now, I don't know. It's frustrating because you always want to beat your rival. But I think if we can look at it in the big picture, it's not necessarily going to be a bad thing. Because I think we can build upon these certain things that we have accomplished this season. I mean, I look on offense. I agree with Deuce and Hoss. I was like, I mean, who's playing? It's like a preseason roster on offense. Not talking about the defense. On offense, who we had out there would be like guys trying to make the team. And it might be your first or your second preseason game. And I think that affected, even though we have gotten a little better, but not good enough on third down. We were 5 of 6, 31% on the season. Our defense is outstanding. They were only able to be 4 of 14, 29%, which is as good as it gets. And when you look at it during the regular season, so it's not just something we did this game where we were outstanding on third down defense. No, we've been outstanding on third down defense, I mean, throughout the season. For instance, we were like the 3rd best third down defense in the whole NFL the whole season, and we had 34.7. Well, I think today we were 29%. And I'm talking about, you know who we hanging with? The Seahawks and the Texans. Third down defense. Aren't those two teams elite? Yeah. Right. So I think Brandon Staley and the whole defensive effort, what we did on third down, was simply outstanding. Our red zone defense was outstanding. They were only 1 of 3, 33%. You know, that wasn't the case the first time we played them here. They were successful in the red zone and we weren't. Well, today, you want to be 100%, bro. At least we were 67%. That's winning football, 2 of 3 in the red zone when all said and done. Again, now back-to-back games, we've averaged more per carry than the opponent. Today we were 4.2, like I said, in the Falcons, 2 yards per attempt. Not 2.2 or 3.2, no, 2. And you're talking about Bijan Robinson. When you look at the total yards from scrimmage, and what Bijan Robinson was, just what he was accomplishing and doing this season, I was worried. I know you have to be concerned. Okay, well, are we going to, after that Rams game, what he did, he ran for 195 yards, and the Rams might represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Breaking tackles, slippery.
Yes, and if you look at it, I mean, he had 2,255 total yards from scrimmage and 1,445 yards rushing. Not against the Saints. He didn't do that against the Saints. And that's why he's not going to brag to his grandkids, oh, man, I kicked the Saints' ass. No, it's just been the opposite. Now, he's going to play a number of years. He might eventually. But you talk about 5-6 games, sample size? No, he has not done anything against the Saints. And I'm a Bijan Robinson fan. I'm thinking, like, boy, if we can get that kind of guy at running back with Tyler Shuck, you know, we always talk about Jeremiah Love from Notre Dame, maybe with that 8 draft pick, to be that back to complement Tyler Shuck. You know, I don't think necessarily anyone's against that. But you cannot afford to do this where hopefully we learn from this. Remember when we finally won a game, we beat the Giants, we had 5 straight takeaways in a row, we're like +5. Well, you know how we're easing our way back. Yeah, then we started -. We're a -3, now we're -4 for the season. And I'm not even counting the block punt. That's like a turnover to me. But it's not. So you can see different areas that we have to get better. And I don't know what we could do about this. And I'm going to ask him tomorrow night on the coach's show. I mean, how do we get off to a faster start? You might say, well, Bob, they just have to get off to a faster start. And it's about execution. But I don't know. It's the whole season. The season's over.
That was a constant.
Yeah, that is a constant. So, I mean, what do we truly do to get better in that regard? Because we end up getting outscored more than 4-1. Because remember, it's 3-1. Then it's 4-1. We've been outscored 122-29. So we always chasing points. So we lose it with this 3-0 or 7-0.
Who's the first pass specialist we could hire to bring in? I don't know.
Yeah, execution, whatever it might be. But no, and it's not, and it's been the same song and dance. So I know they're going to address that because I'll look in the category. Just getting off to a fast start can make a difference. Okay, let's say you win 6 games and you play in 17 games. So what if you get a faster start maybe in 4 or 5 games? Are you hovering around 9 or 10 wins? So all of that comes into play as far as when you want to play winning football. But again, it's frustrating because it is your division rival. But I don't know. I'd rather Carolina be going into the playoffs. And you might say, I don't like none of them. I don't like Carolina, Tampa Bay, or the Saints. But, you know, we had won the division 4 years in a row. And Tampa Bay has won the last 4 seasons. They were trying to make it 5. Not so fast. Then they get it done. And if you look at Carolina.
Baker can go back to hating us.
Yeah, exactly. And to show you how hard it is. So you look at Carolina, how this is unfamiliar territory. The last time they won the NFC South, they were 15-1. That was their Super Bowl appearance 10 years ago. You remember that guy, Cam Newton? That was the first division crown winning today since Ron Rivera and Cam Newton. Now, since then, Carolina's gone through 3 coaching changes, started 10 different quarterbacks since their wild card berth in 2017. But I'm talking about winning the NFC South and ultimately went to the Super Bowl, but they lost. They didn't end up winning. But so if you look at it, I mean, who do you want to really help? And I think that does matter. I think playing a 4th-place schedule, then a 2nd-place schedule, whatever how it might have unfolded. So I'm going to look at this as a positive going forward.
I'm going to pause real quick, Cajun Cannon. Let's pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on The Point After, Cajun Cannon, finish your thoughts on the Saints' 19-17 loss in Atlanta, the season finale.
Well, again, that I thought we had a great chance to win 5 in a row. I think if – I'm not trying to make an excuse, but – I think in the latter part of that game, if Chris Olave is available, like the weapons, I think we have a better opportunity. I think Shuck made the best of it. I still think Shuck did enough to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think if you truly be objective, Ted McMillan, what they're going to say, oh, he's a 1,000-yard receiver. Well, hell, they play 17 games.
Do you think the bias of the Panthers being in the playoffs?
Oh, without a doubt. Oh, that's not going to hurt. That's going to help a lot, probably.
Well, hurt, but, I mean Shuck. Hurt Shuck's
chances. Oh, yeah, it's going to hurt Shuck. Yeah. But to me, that should not, make a difference. That the one thing, even look at Chris Olave and the kind of season that he had. You know, everybody said, oh, Bobby, look, he's done it again. He has another, 1,000 yards. I'm not so impressed with that. You know what I'm impressed with? 2 things. 9 touchdown catches and 100 receptions. And he wanted to play a complete season. Now, obviously, you got a blood clot in your lung. You can't play. But I think the combination of Shuck and Chris Olave, that's going to go a long way.
Yeah, they just started cooking.
Yeah, because you look in the past 2 games and him not being available today, he had recorded 148 and 119 yards receiving with 3 touchdowns. And so when you look at it, not playing the last game, but 100 catches. Like I said, I don't look at the 1,163 yards. You play 17 games. But the 100 catches and the 9 touchdowns, to me, that's impressive. And Chris Olave can tell you that he even thinks he could be better. Look at it. Like, you're not going to ever be perfect, but if you're going to be like that stud and you want to be in the likes and you talk like Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson, whatever. Tell Justin Jefferson the quarterback don't make a difference because you look this year with the Vikings. I know the fantasy people are all ticked off, right? No. So I think the combination, Chris Olave can make Shug better, and Shug can make Chris Olave better. So I'm really encouraged by that. Now, as far as guys you're familiar with, who's going to come back? And I brought this up to Deuce in the pregame. Okay, four guys. I don't know how you cannot bring back DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan based on their production. I'll put a young guy. Put a young guy. The young guy can't beat him out. And now, a contract comes into play dealing with the salary cap. But I would say Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill's playing hard, but he definitely lost a step with his knee. And then looking at Alvin Kamara. Look, I love Alvin Kamara.
I miss Alvin.
He was like the poor man to me, Christian McCaffrey, kind of at times. But it shows you a great defense. What did Christian McCaffrey do against the Seahawks? Nothing. Now, I would never encourage the 49ers because I think the injuries were their defense. That's not a 49ers defense. And that shows you if the Seahawks – the Seahawks have a Super Bowl winning defense. Now, I don't know what they could do offensively because look how many points the Bears scored against the 49ers and the Seahawks couldn't score. So that'll be interesting. No, it's wide open. I think the playoffs are wide open. To say, oh, they're going to win for sure, this team, that. I mean, I told you this in the pregame. And if you're a Saints fan or a small market fan, the NFL might not want this. I would love to see the Seahawks and the Jaguars. You know, Jacksonville and Seattle. Well, Bobby, Seattle's not like Jacksonville, New Orleans, smaller city. Yeah, but it's like in a different country. Who pays attention to Seattle? That's like, okay, the Seattle Mariners in the World Series, look, when they were competing against the Blue Jays. What? That's like two teams that are foreigners. You know, no one pays attention to the Mariners, and the Seahawks are so far away. But I think that's the teams I would cheer for because, like, I mean, we don't play them enough, and how can you really hate on them? But looking at Alvin before we go to a break, he injured his knee, ironically, against Atlanta in November. And his 2025 season was the worst of his career. He played in a career-low 11 games, failed to crack 1,000 yards from scrimmage. And I say failed to crack 1,000 yards for scrimmage. I just read you with John Robinson has 2,255 yards from scrimmage. And for the first time in his nine NFL seasons, he finished with 657 total yards. So when you get old, you get old. I'm not saying Alvin doesn't have nothing left in the tank, but I think that's why in the draft is so important. If he would get that security blanket and a running back like Jeremiah Love out of Notre Dame.
That was a look at the Cajun Cannons take. Saints falling in the season finale, folks. 19-17, the Black and Gold's win streak stopped at four in a row by those Dirty Birds who get a sweep over the Saints. Black and Gold end up 6-11 on the season. We're going to take a break here on The Point after you get to sound off with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, 504-260-1870. Talk and text line wide open for you folks. Coming right back with The Point after. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Season finale of The Point After. The Saints unfortunately lose to the Atlanta Falcons 19-17. Going to get to your calls. Want to remind folks, American Safety, for each point scored by the Saints this season, American Safety donated $50 to disaster relief. American Safety, stronger than the storm and right here with you. If you want to sound off with the Cajun Cannon, chime in 504-260-1870 on our talk and text line. Hollywood and Thibodeau, you're first up on the season finale of The Point After. What up, Hollywood?
Hey, Bob. Hey, Steve. How y'all doing?
All right, Hollywood Swinger. What's up? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to y'all and everybody else over there at the studio. I had a fun season with y'all. I wish the outlook would have turned a little better, like win the division, go to the playoffs, but we didn't get that. Hopefully next year. Bobby, that wasn't a flag on number 11 in the end zone when we had our touchdown. That was a game changer right there.
No, it was. He didn't sell it. I agree with Deuce. You have to listen to Deuce's call on that, Hollywood. I'm going to tell you, I played for a coach who taught how to run the pick play. And that's an old school run and shoot thing. Remember Miles Davis in our old school? They would teach you how you can't panic, how you truly pick a defender and not letting the official make that call. Well, you have to look like you're still running a route. No, Holly turned his shoulder. No, they're going to call that. They coached the officials. They trained to make that kind of call. You have to make it where that you have to have peripheral vision, where when you're running a pick play, you're getting in the way of the defender, but you're still, like, running your route. And, and Deuce kind of described it during the game. I'm telling you, the way he did, I go, no, they're going to call that every time. They trained to call that. So now, if they let that go, is because that official maybe wasn't on top of it. But there's a way to still run a pick play when you know they're playing man coverage and you're trying to free a receiver without getting called for pick, even though you are picking, is how you sell it. And there's a technique, and I'll tell you, June Jones, this is going back to, I'm talking about 30-plus years, that and how they would run that all the time. When they had the original spread, you know, the run and shoot, Warren Moon and the Oilers and all that. And there's a technique to it. And they can invite me to a wide receiver meeting room, and I can show you that what needs to be taught and how a receiver. And you have to do it smooth. You can't panic. And I even seen some even young college receivers. They go block the guy. You can't block him. Now, Pettis wasn't doing that, but he didn't sell it good enough. So, I disagree with you there, Hollywood.
Hey, Bobby, you we got to do something better in the kicking game.
Well, you mean like kickoff punt return? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we lost Rashid Shaheed, one of the best, and look what he did with the Seahawks, taking it to the house. They glad they got Rashid Shaheed, but look how we found him. That was truly a diamond in the rough from Weber State. I mean, out of Utah, out of nowhere, free agent. So they have those kind of guys out there. Now we just got to find them. If you look at, like, okay, what did we truly do in the return game? And we should have dominated the Falcons in that area. And that was one area that I was disappointed that we did not do that, considering how they came in the game and they were struggling. That's actually cost the Falcons some games. how poorly they've been. Not the kicker. I'm talking about the whether it be their coverage units or whether it be in their return game. No, they've struggled big time with that. And like, for instance, I said this in the pregame. Like, you know, the Titans were number one. They were number one, like, punt return, kick return. They were top 10, whatever. Atlanta was dead last in the kick return, and, like, they were averaging under 7 yards a punt return. We let Tompkins one time go over 15 yards. I go, we cannot do that. So I was a little disappointed that we didn't finish strong and actually had a big, decisive edge on special teams, and considering their kicker goes 4 for 4 and our kicker goes 1 for 2. So, no, that was we got to get better in the return game. And Pettis did have one punt return, a long gain of 14. But that other cat, he looked kind of misjudging the ball with Miller Hines. Now, he did have also a long of 11. But, no, we got to get better in that because you get kind of spoiled whenever you have a returner like Rashid Shaheed. You want to get those hidden yardage and flipping the field and all that in the return game. And obviously, it's going to be a lot of competition. I think both Steve and I was talking about this, not only punter but also kicker with Charlie Smith. No, you got to bring in competition.
You might like a guy. Great. He's got a great personality. I love the Irish accent, but make your kicks.
No, and if you keep like going little hook to the left, little hook
all right,
to the left.
He's got this fade to the left. Well, compensate,
then you can have a fade to the left, and then it goes down the middle. Maybe you start it right. You know who's a confident kicker that – and look how confident he was. I don't know where he went. The Ole Miss kicker. Look at the pressure on him. That was right down the middle. I can't even think of his name right now. Charlie, what was the Ole Miss kicker? And Steve, look, that guy, that's an NFL kicker. And who knows, he might be the difference of them coming out on top, you know, as they
Lucas
continue.
Lucas Carnero.
Yeah. He's smooth as silk. So that's what you need. And again, I brought up the stat about 40 and 50-yard kicks, how the opponents had a big advantage over us with that.
Taking a break here on The Point after the Black and Gold lose the season finale, 19-17 in Atlanta. Taking your calls, you can sound off with the Cajun Cannon. Give your thoughts on this season about the Black and Gold. Kellen Moore's first as the head coach. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Yes, indeed. Season finale in the books. Unfortunately, the Black and Gold fall in the last game, 19-17 at Atlanta. Happy to chime in, though, and hear all of your calls. Sounded off with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, after the Saints' 6-11 season. Going to go right back to our talk and text line where you can also chime in, 504-260-1870. Hector in New Orleans, you're up here on The Point after. What up tonight, Hector?
Hey, Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year, Hector.
Even though I'm disappointed because I was hoping to at least take one game away from the Falcons, overall, I'm looking at the bigger picture. I think the defense was so outstanding. I think, Bobby, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the things that we also forget that the defense hasn't allowed a 300-yard passer in all the season, if I'm correct.
You know what? I think you might be right. Now, and that's a common this day and age. You're not giving up a 300-yard passer? No, and Hector, where we've been outstanding is, again, I mean, if we can play a complete game, but second half, you look at like fewest points allowed in the fourth quarter now. The Falcons are able to get 6, but we only given up 3.3. And look at Houston and Denver, and then you look at the whole second half points per game. We're number one, giving up 7 now. We gave up 9 total today. But no, that's winning football, how you close it out games like that.
Well, also too, the defense hasn't allowed a touchdown in the fourth quarter, too, in quite a while, too. So that kind of bodes well, too, for us. But, you know, with that said, what we saw today offensively with Tyler Shuck actually throwing to people that we only see during preseason, I think us winning 6 games and how we ended the season – I'm going to tell you, it kind of set the bar a little higher for next year. There is no reason why we can't go minimum 4-2 in the division.
Spot on.
And,
right.
And quite frankly, I don't see why we can't win a minimum 8-9 games. That should be the expectation for next year. Just keep consistently winning your games that you're supposed to. And that means more consistency and on special teams. And I'm going to throw this one out to you, Bobby. You know, I like Juwan Johnson. There are times he makes some really incredible catches, and there's some times he doesn't protect the ball. I think the Saints, besides me, I'm looking at a running back, maybe a better guard play on the offensive line, maybe another tight end to complement Juwan Johnson.
Well, there's nothing wrong with having two stud tight ends. Look at the Seahawks. Now, you can't have two tight ends if they can't run block. You know, you want them to be serviceable. I'm telling you, that's one reason why I look back in the day, two of the best tight ends in Saints history. I tell you, I don't know if they can run a 4.8 40. They would catch the ball, then you had to get open in zone and all that. Hobie Brenner and John Tice. And we called two plays and I'll do check with me, go away from the strength. And whoever they were blocking, they were always blocked. Did you watch them block against the 49ers last night? So when you say tight ends, now, that's unbelievable. They're a pass receiving tight end. But you look how the game, the chess match that goes with play calling and all that. So I would not be, to me, would be a prize guy right now is like a stud pass catching tight end who could block his ass off. Like, what? These are about like a top 10 pick. Like, he's big enough, but Kyle Pitts to me is a little too finesse. If Kyle Pitts could run block, he could be the greatest ever. Look how big that dude is and stuff. And he's bounced back. Because you look at, like, when you look, how can you live up to the billing? Because if you're a top 10 pick, you can't be just like, oh, well, we're developing him. Or we got to hope he works out. But when you say, and they've said this in Atlanta, that Kyle Pitts has kind of been a disappointment. You know, when you consider what they had invested in him and where they've drafted him. So it wasn't like, I don't know about Kyle Pitts. But you know who's helped him play better and how they fed him the football? Kirk Cousins compared to Michael Penix. How Kirk Cousins overall has utilized Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts more. And you know how, look how he utilized Drake London today. Drake London, 4 catches, 78 yards. He averaged 19 and a half yards a reception. Had that long gain of 37, had a touchdown. No, that guy has not been a disappointment from the get-go. Then you look at Pitts and them having 6 catches, 58 yards, a long gain of 15. But coming into the game, you know, Juwan Johnson, you look at receiving yardage leader, just said that. He was like 5th in the NFL. And you look at Juwan, and he also had 74 receptions, which is like 6. But Kyle Pitts was number 2 in the league, only behind Trey McBride. He had 870 receiving yards. And then you look at receptions, he had 82. Juwan Johnson had 74. But number 2, and I think a lot of that had to do with Kirk Cousins utilizing him and getting the ball better, so it helped his confidence. What was it, a couple of 2-3 weeks ago when they played Tampa Bay and had that unbelievable game, prime time, that being Kyle Pitts? So, yeah, we definitely could use another tight end. Shuck wouldn't be against that, you know. Look how much the tight end, how before Indiana Jones got hurt from Penn State, Warren.
Tyler Warren, yeah.
Yeah, Tyler Warren. So, no, I don't think – it'd be interesting to see if a tight end's ranked that high, you know, with the 8th pick, or that'd really be too high. But we're going to have options. We need just somebody, whoever we're picking at 8th. I think that's what we're picking, right?
Right now, yeah.
Yeah. That whoever we pick, no, they got to be a stud from the get-go. Not like we're trying to develop or hope he works out in the future. He needs to work out now and help us win tomorrow. But, Hector, I'm going to tell you this. You say – 8 or 9 wins, I'm going like 9 or 10. Because if you get the 10 wins, no matter what your division in, you should be in the playoffs, whether it's a wild card or whatever. But 10 wins, that double-digit winning season. But 9 wins might be enough at the NFC South. Look, a losing record was enough this year.
We're here on The Point After, the Saints losing their season finale 19-17 in Atlanta. Taking your calls here on The Point After. Coming back with more of it right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on The Point After, brought to you by McDonald's. With every field goal, Keesler Federal donated $1,000 to New Orleans Women's and Children's Shelter this season. This year, Keesler Federal ended up donating $29,000. We're back here on The Point After, the Black and Gold losing 19-17 in Atlanta. We're going to get into your calls here on The Point After. Sounding off with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Menard in Baton Rouge. You are up next here on The Point After. What is up, Menard?
Who that, baby?
Who that?
Who that?
Who that, Menard?
Hey, Santa Claus brought my who that back this Christmas, guys. Okay. I'm going to tell y'all right now. I feel a whole lot better about where this season ended and where I see it going next year as opposed to what it was last year.
Well, yeah, we have the right quarterback. Don't you think? I mean, I want to know, listen, hey, Menard, hold your point, because I want to know any Who That Nation member who thinks, like, I don't know, we need to get a new quarterback. And you got to give some reason why we need a new quarterback. Because I'm telling you, I think Tyler Shuck has done enough even to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. I mean, I can go over a number of things, what he's accomplished with all the other. It's not just a quarterback award, but I look at Ted McMillan. I mean, okay, the only thing is Carolina's going to the postseason. I don't know, what did Ted McMillan do against us, really? I mean, we beat him twice.
Yeah.
And also, but go ahead, Menard.
Yeah, look, let me put it like this. Tyler Shuck, the last seven games of this season, played like a top five quarterback in this league. I ain't talking about rookies. I'm talking about quarterbacks. And when you take into account the lack of talent
around him,
having to play with around him, from the time he took over until now, he has continued to get better and better and better. And I'm gonna tell you something. I ain't gonna cry if he don't win Rookie of the Year, even though I do think he deserves it.
Right.
But I'm gonna tell you like this. I don't care if he ever wins MVP. Drew Brees never won an MVP. I'm not mad about that. I'm not mad at Drew about it. But I'm gonna tell you right now, I don't care if he ever wins MVP. As long as he's a top five quarterback every year, which he has the possibility of doing, if he continues to play and grow the way he has and he can stay healthy, there is no doubt in my mind that this kid can be a top five quarterback in the NFL year in and year out.
Well, okay? You just look at how he finished the season, and you're looking at the whole league. So I'm not just going to talk about what he's done in the rookies, because, you know, Cam Ward, or you look at Shedeur Sanders,
Jackson Dart,
you know, you go on and on. No, it's not even close. Who's played the best? But then now you look at, like, the whole NFL, like the Drake Mays, Josh Allen, everything. The NFL league completion percentage leaders, right now he's like seventh. And you look at Daniel Jones, he's been out. But he's in the likes like Jared Goff, Brock Purdy, Josh Allen, Drake May. So he goes on and on. And then you even throw in there like in December. So, you know, you're getting hot in December to close out the season. Brock Purdy was one, Drake May was two, Joe Burrow three, and Tyler Shuck four. So you could just look at the company he's keeping and where he's at. And I mean, that's why I'm really encouraged, and all of a sudden I'm saying 2026, yeah, we'll win the NFC South. I'm looking in the crystal ball, and we got to hold the organization's feet to the fire now. We got to get a better supporting cast and address the free agency and the draft and hit on the draft like I think we hit on this year. You know, getting young players, I think they even could be better, like Quincy Riley, Jonas Sankers of the world. And all that, you know, we didn't even get to see play. He got hurt after one game. Is the big interior D lineman from Texas, Broughton.
Right, Vernon Broughton.
Yeah. What? Now, hopefully he's a hard worker and he rehabs and he comes back. Then you look at Banks. Now, man, what did Jawan Johnson, did he cut his own player? Watch when Banks got hurt in the game. I think Jawan Johnson hurt him. It looked like it was his ankle. Is that what they said it was?
Yeah, it was listed with an ankle issue.
Yeah, and then I was like, you got to be kidding me. That sucks when your own teammate hurts you.
And rough series, obviously, for Banks. He got a penalty and then got hurt.
And then he got hurt the next play. Right. That's right, Steve. We were talking about that. So, but yeah, Menard, I agree with you. Hey, the sun is shining. The sun is shining going forward. And, if you look.
It's nice to hear some Hudat optimism considering how he started this year, Bobby.
Well, and then, and then you look at even how you quickly could turn around. I use the Patriots as an example. When they were starting the season with Jacoby Brissett, and before they went with Drake May and how they ended the season, how they parlayed that into this season. And it's amazing where the Patriots are at. And they lost to the Raiders in the first game. How the hell that happened? So
now they're potentially the one seed in the AFC.
Yeah, yeah. And then I don't know if they suffered enough without Tom Brady. that'll be interesting to see. I think, I don't know, Menard, a number of y'all might think, who's going to represent the NFC or the AFC in the Super Bowl? I think it's wide open. I don't know. To me, I still take the approach, Steve, you like this. Until you beat the champions, they're still the champions, the Eagles. And, you know, you might say, oh, well, they have some ugly games.
We'll see.
Ugly games or ugly halves. Total yards, they didn't even have 50 yards. I don't know. They won the game or something. They find a way to win.
The Saints didn't find a way to win in the finale, folks. It was 19-17 in Atlanta. You're sounding off with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, here on The Point After, 504-260-1870. Coming back with more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Love all you Hudats calling in after the black and gold fall, 19-17 in Atlanta, the season finale. Appreciate your dedicated listenership here on The Point After, our season finale as well. Cajun Cannon going to go right out to our talk and text line where folks are chiming in, 504-260-1870. Earl in Prairieville, you are up next here on The Point After. What you got for us tonight, Earl?
Hey, Bobby, I got something for y'all, and y'all going to be like hardcore listening.
I'm listening.
I see a two that in 2026 because our Saints are going to win the Super Bowl. It's coming, dude. It's coming. That Saints.
So what, you had a dream or something? Or why are you so optimistic?
Bobby. Them Saints are going to do it, dude. I need a couple offensive players. Our defense has been dominant. And guess what? We win the Super Bowl. give me the offensive players and that Saints win the Super Bowl.
So that means we're going to hit on the draft and get some impact players who might have a free agent or two that's going to contribute. No, you know what, Earl? The point Earl's making, though, is not, no, you got to wait 4 or 5 years rebuilding. No, just look this year.
Coach and a quarterback make a big difference.
Yes, and I think that Tyler Shug, the confidence he's going to have, Earl, and where we're at, that you get the right supporting cast, why not? Now, it's hard to get to a Super Bowl and to ultimately win a Super Bowl, but there's no reason why we shouldn't be in the hunt. I'm talking about, that's all you can ask. Okay, to have a chance to go to Super Bowl, don't you have to be in the postseason?
To have the chance, you got to make the dance.
Yeah, well, right now, we have no chance because we're not in the dance. Carolina's in the dance now. I think it's probable that maybe it looks like either Rams or 49ers are going to Carolina, but they get to host a game. And that's what I would like, Earl, right now, is no one thought when Sean Payton and Drew Brees came in on board in 2006, look, that previous season we were 3-13. Now, I still don't know how we ended up the number two seed and we were 10-6, and we were a number two seed then. So remember, we had a bye, and then we beat the Eagles. And that was when Deuce McAllister was running. Remember that rugby type play? I was like, what? Win the NFC Championship game at the Bears.
How'd that happen?
Yeah, this is a go to Super Bowl. So, Earl, yeah, you can have some optimism because I tell you what, I'm more optimistic where we're at than the Chiefs. And, okay, look at the Chiefs' record and look at our record. Don't they have the great Pat Mahomes? I think that supporting cast makes a difference. Now, again, we got to hit on the draft. We have to get build upon what we did in this last draft and a couple of free agents. And because I think the coaches we have, they know what they're doing. And again, I think we're going to figure out how to get off to a fast start in the first quarter. Because, man, we hell in the second half. We're amongst the best defensively. We're up there looking at teams that are in the postseason, in the dance. Look where they are defensively right now, the Texans and the Seahawks. And look at, man, I watched that whole game with the Texans, with the Seahawks and the 49ers. Because I watched the 49ers-Bears game. Remember, that was entertaining. Back and forth. 7-0, 7-7, 14-7, 14-14, 21-21. They kept going on and on. But, okay, you think that would happen to the Seahawks? Hell no. They weren't going to let that happen. So I just like our scoring defense in the second half and the fourth quarter. So, hey, why not? Why not?
Why not indeed? Taking a break here on The Point After. Coming back with more of your calls, 504-260-1870. It's also the text line. Coming back right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on The Point After, the Saints lose 19-17 in the season finale in Atlanta. Before we continue on, I want to pause 10 seconds and let stations identify themselves right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on The Point After, one of the silver linings out of things that the Cajun Ken and I have been talking about kind of behind the scenes in the commercial break, at least for the Saints, Bobby. This means that at 6-11, not getting that win in Atlanta, unfortunately, obviously, yeah, you get swept by the Dirty Birds, but that silver lining is you end up with a fourth-place schedule.
Yeah, and that does make a difference. The Patriots ended up with a fourth-place schedule, and what I mean by that, and we don't know how the NFL does a great job with the scheduling. Now, I don't know if it's good, like this year, for look how tough it was at the beginning. Then you look at the latter part. And even when I was cutting about, okay, how many games they're going to win, I said, well, we should finish strong considering who we're playing. But, Bobby, every year is a new year. I know all that. But this comes into play, the strength of schedule. So I don't know if the toughest part of our schedule will, again, be at the beginning next year or will be at the middle or will come to the end. If it's at the end, then you have to get off to a fast start. And hopefully you don't fall apart like Tampa Bay did. Tampa Bay to close out the season, what were they, like 2-8 or something? It was terrible. The reason why I bring this up, and that's why, if you're just being objective, and you might say, well, would Tyler Shough made that much of a difference if he played the beginning of the year instead of Spencer Rattler? Because I look at Spencer Rattler, of the Saints' 7 losses with Rattler at quarterback, 5 were against teams in the playoff mix. And the 7 losses came against teams with a combined record of 7-42, which is a 625 winning percentage. So I'm not saying, oh, no, Shough would have made all the difference in the world, and we wouldn't have had 7 losses. I don't think we would have had as many losses as Rattler. But would it have been enough to be in the playoff picture? Maybe, yeah, considering that a losing record in the NFC South, you are representing the NFC South, and we took care of the division. Ultimately, it would have been better if we were 4-2 instead of 3-3, but what I'm saying, we were competing. And, you know, we were right there. But you might say, well, it's all hindsight. Oh, well, why didn't we play Tyler Shough at the beginning? Okay, well, why didn't Andy Reid play Pat Mahomes at the beginning? Well, why didn't even play him in the first season? Why didn't the Patriots, if they knew Drake May was going to be so good, why did they start Jacoby Brissett the first 6 games? I think Kellen Moore played this right. And Tyler Shough, when he was ready to play,
he
wasn't overwhelmed.
A QB knew when his QB was ready.
Amen. And that's why I think you can't look at, oh, well, we'd have maybe had a chance. Maybe. You don't know. We had a whole lot better. I think it would have been a whole lot better considering the strength of opponent at the beginning of the year and where we're at as a team with a new defense and all that and how we finish. Now, what we need to do is parlay the momentum, even though we didn't win today, but how we finished the season, considering we had a preseason roster on offense today and how we were right there with Atlanta. So all I know is look at the NFC South. What quarterback you'd rather have right now than Tyler Shough? You want Little Bryce?
No.
They're going to the playoffs? I would say no. You want Michael Penix? How is he going to come back from the knee? He couldn't move before the knee.
He wasn't proven before the injury.
Yes. And I look at Baker Mayfield. I would go with the younger guy. Now, Baker Mayfield got some swag. I like he's tough as nails. And but look how he fell off.
Right.
In the latter part. So I like where we're at with the division. And everyone looks at all the divisions around the NFL. They look, well, who's the quarterback for that team? I like Al Chan.
Saw a Panthers beat writer, I told you, during the game tweeted out, look, folks, Tyler Shuck's going to be a problem in this division for years to come.
Yes, if you're being objective and you're a Falcons fan, a Buccaneers fan, or Panthers, whatever, yes.
It's like, Ruh-roh, we got to see this guy twice.
Yes. I'm not saying he's the second coming of Drew Brees. Drew Brees is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But no, we're not like, oh, well, who's going to be our quarterback? You know, like post-Drew Brees. We found him.
Right, we're not taking questions tonight. Do you think the Saints are going to go all in and move up for Mendoza?
Yeah. Mendoza's not better than Tyler Shuck. Whoever quarterbacks in college is not better than Tyler Shuck right now.
Black and gold.
I mean, you might say, oh, Bobby, how do you know that? I said, I've seen enough. I'm like Sean Payton. I've seen enough. I know that Tyler Shuck is the guy for the Saints. Now, I don't know about winning a Super Bowl. I don't know. But we're going to be winners. We're going to be winners with Tyler Shuck.
Shuck can bring us back to the playoffs.
Yes, and then what you do from there.
We'll see.
A little luck, and then can he be the difference maker like Drew Brees and not necessarily a Bobby Hebert? Can he be a Drew Brees and, you know, not just quarterbacking winning teams where you get the double-digit wins, 12, 11, 10 wins, whatever, but then when you do on that second season, you know, I said that in the pregame, and I think we could parlay that. You remember I told you, there's only three times in Saints history the Saints have been undefeated in December. 1987, which we won 9 games in a row that year to strike here, we finished 12-3. 2011, which I still say is the greatest Saint team ever. They became the new greatest show on turf. You remember we lost that
I would love to see what they were doing in first quarters of games.
We are always ahead. And I think I'll tell you, that was the time when fans were saying, Bobby, I get bored in the beginning of fourth quarter. We're winning by too many points. I want the games to be close. I go, what are you talking about? You know, we're winning by double digits. You know, the game's well in hand.
Patience, young grasshopper.
Yeah, yeah, and stuff. So, and this year is the only time we've ever been closing out the season in December, and I think we're going to build upon that.
Taking a break here on The Point After, getting to all your calls and texts. We're going to take a break right now, though. Be right back with more. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, folks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well,
2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Welcome back in, folks, to The Point After, the season finale in the book. So it's a season finale also of The Point After this evening. Saints falling 19-17 in Atlanta. Black and gold wrap up the season with a 6-11 record and getting swept by the Dirty Birds. That's a sting, unfortunately, that's going to linger a little bit.
Yeah, it's a sting because, you know, the first time they swept the Saints since 2016. And I don't know, can Atlanta, they're probably saying, oh, we're going to build upon this. We have a four-game winning streak. But Charlie had said something in the pregame this morning. It's amazing how well the Falcons play when, and this is like recent history, when they're out of contention. So, Charlie, you still have that? Because that's unbelievable. How they're so irrelevant when the pressure's on, and then you know, there's no pressure and all that, how all of a sudden they decide to win.
My thing with Atlanta too, Bobby, is what do you do at quarterback with the uncertainty with Penix? You kind of have to keep Cousins around, I feel like.
Yeah, and then look at the salary cap. That's when it comes into play. And it'll be interesting to see because you know who's going to help them try and guide Matt Ryan. I mean, how influenced, you know, with Fontenot and all will be involved in that. You know, McKay's been there forever. You know, and Arthur Blank has a lot of patience. So bottom line is a lot of – whenever you win a division, you have a losing record. Everybody in division say, look, we can have a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
Whether it's Tampa Bay, like we're right there. We just can't have a drastic fall off the cliff ending because, you know, they're in conversation. Oh, they might represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, or Baker Mayfield's at a MVP level. Now, they dealt with a lot of injuries with no excuse. Look at the 49ers, their injuries they've dealt with. So that's why you got to have depth. But yeah, so NFC South, wide open. And, I mean, now with Todd Bowles, is that enough, you know, to save his job? Because, you know, when you look at there's always 6, 7, 8 coaching changes. And look,
yeah, I wonder what the climate is over there and how the front office feels about him.
Yeah, he was handpicked by Bruce Arians. You remember how when he left? And then Todd Bowles is one of those that he kind of worked out before the season, kind of whatever he's done lately as head coach, but always known more. Well, for sure, we know he knows defense and defensive coordinator. But you look at Todd Bowles, had led the team to 3 division titles the first 3 seasons, but he's only 1-3 in the playoffs.
Charlie sent me the stat, by the way, Bobby. Since 2018, the Atlanta Falcons are 53-78. A 405 win percentage in games played with playoff eligibility on the line, and they're 13-4 in games after being mathematically eliminated.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we can play footloose, fancy free now. It doesn't matter. And, you know, because a lot of fans, they look at, oh, the players, you know, fans will look at the players, oh, well, they're playing well now, but the games don't mean anything because maybe they couldn't handle the pressure when something was on the line, so.
We're going to go check you back in into our talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Corey and Biloxi, you're next to sound off here on The Point After. What up, Corey?
Hey, I have 2 questions for you. First one you kind of touched on already about draft picks. Is there anybody specific that you or position player that you would be looking for, a big weapon, a big offensive lineman, somebody for Shuck? Second question is for Bobby. What was it like? What was the differences in playing for New Orleans versus Atlanta when it comes to personnel or ownership and atmosphere? What was the difference
well,
there?
I thought, okay, in Atlanta, now it might change back then because that was in the 90s and all. And then let's say you had 15,000 diehard Falcon fans? Well, you could times that times three or three and a half in New Orleans. So instead of 15,000, might be 45, 50,000 in New Orleans. That it really affected them how, whether the Saints or Falcons won or not, how their production at work on Monday. So it just seems like they cared more. Like none of my neighbors when I lived in Atlanta, they weren't even from Georgia. Not from Atlanta. People are born and raised and die here. You know, this is truly their team. Like I had one neighbor from Boston. The other one's from Ohio. They're there because of work. You know, and they might be flying a Patriots flag, a Cleveland Browns flag. And so now if the Falcons are winning, they'll go to the games and be on the bandwagon. When I was doing the Falcons radio, 7 years doing like post game and all that stuff, then Michael Vick was like a rock star. He was like an Atlanta Braves player. Always said being there, they care more about the Georgia Bulldogs and the Atlanta Braves. That if the Falcons or the Hawks are winning, and the Hawks were a playoff team, but then, you know, Dominique Wilkins, I remember Christian Laettner, Mookie Blaylock and all them, Steve Smith. They're winning, but it's like, we'll go to the games and it's like a social event. Where you have diehard Falcons fans. Now, I'll say this, the Saints-Falcons rivalry is the most swag-type rivalry, like Grambling-Southern. There's a reason why NBC puts that every year in the Superdome because it's so meaningful and the passion. Well, I think you have that between Atlanta and New Orleans. I have a lot of people, African-American people that live in Atlanta, they're from New Orleans. Maybe job opportunity, they move there or whatever.
If only you could get the Saints and Falcons to do a battle of the bands.
Yeah. So, yes. Now, we have a former band, maybe. We should win that. But anyway, if you look at, like, what does it mean to play for both teams, or the ownership, put it this way, I never got invited to Mr. Benson's ranch in San Antonio. Well, Rankin Smith, he took me quail hunting. I felt like an aristocrat in southern Georgia. And how they're recruiting me, I never forget.
That sounds like a reality show episode to me, the Cajun Canning quail hunting.
And then, yeah, with Billy Payne, who brought the Olympics to Atlanta in 1996. And he was the president of Augusta. You ever heard of Augusta? Like where they have the Masters? So, man, they put in a full-court press. Well, I don't know. I never got – I guess I was a free agent, so you're being recruited. So I think overall that – now, the Saints organization has treated me awesome, I'd say, this century, 21st century.
Right, you know, you've had your run-ins with the previous owner that was here.
GM. It wasn't the owner.
Right.
Mr. Bench was like, I hired Mr. Finks to do a job. I can't get involved. And, you know, we kind of pass it. Like, I think, if I was dealing with Ms. Gale, it'd have been awesome and stuff. But and the owner then is not even the owner now. Now they got the Home Depot, Arthur Blank. I don't really know Arthur Blank. I knew Rankin Smith, Taylor Smith and all the family there. But, yeah, it is unique because it would be like if you're from Alabama and you play for Alabama and then you transfer to Auburn. Let's say you move to Alabama. You want to move down south, maybe you had a job opportunity. You can't say, I like Auburn and Alabama. That means you're not from there. You have to choose a side. And, you know, like my dad says, like LSU and Tulane, how can you cheer for Tulane? I didn't raise you that way. I go, I don't know. They're from New Orleans. Well, why am I not going to cheer for Tulane? Remember, I told you that. He said, no, I'd cheer for Rush over Tulane. I said, what? I said, I'm not gonna do that. And he'd always say, well, me and T-Bob, we really LSU Tigers. You're not. I'm like, what? I said, whatever. Whatever. So you can see the battles. When you go in there and playing and competing, though, you're just competing. It's just football, you know, no matter what uniform you have. And now I think a lot of loyal fans are learning that you better love the team, not necessarily individual players, because who knows, like Trinidad might end up being an LSU Tiger quarterback.
That'd be nice.
Show me the money. It's like, look at the player side, they change teams. So You just got to cheer for the team and whoever lines up for you. Hopefully, they got a good heart and have a lot of fight in them, and they want to represent you at the highest level.
We got Hart here on The Point After taking us to break right now. We're going to take your calls, 504-260-1870. That's also the text line you can sound off on the Cajun Cannon. We're going to come back with more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on The Point After, the Saints lose 19-17 in the season finale at Atlanta. Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to their world. Their donations this season after today's game, $47,350. Venture Global donating to their Catch for the Coast program. We're going to go back to our talking text line, Cajun Cannon. I wanted to mention, though, we were asked about some of the draft prospects for the Saints. Currently slotted with that number eighth overall pick in the first round. The big one that I see a lot of people going after was running back at Notre Dame, Jeremiah Love for the black and gold. You look at some offensive linemen. There's Spencer Fano from Utah. Also, Francis Muaga from Miami. Edges, David Bailey, Keldrick Falk, Bailey from Texas Tech, and Falk from Auburn. And possibly, if he's around, a Jordan Tyson, Arizona State wide receiver, in the mix there as well. But I know we're going to be having plenty and plenty of draft shows coming up as we gear up for this Saints offseason.
Yeah, again, whoever we picking, they have to work out. If you're going to build upon supporting cast and all that, have to contribute. And what I mean by that, not that you got to be like all pro, pro bowler and all that. It had to be a legit like starter, like Banks was.
Yeah, you want to hear, oh, this guy, look, Trevor Penning, a project.
No, we don't need no damn projects. We don't need that.
I love this year, the redraft Todd McShay, NFL analyst, did. He had Tyler Shuck going number one to Tennessee, and oh, the New England Patriots taking Kelvin Banks Jr. number four over Will Campbell.
Well, yeah, that means being objective. That's
two top four picks.
Yeah, and look, when you look at what they're doing right now in their NFL career, where they would have been taken. So, yep. No, that's very promising.
Going back to our WWL talking text line, Longshoreman ready to sound off about Jeremiah Love. What you got, Longshoreman? How's it going?
Hey, what's up, Steve and Bobby? Thank y'all for taking my call, man. How y'all doing this evening?
All right, Longshoreman, where do you enjoy the game at tonight? At home or what?
No, I watched it over in my little old hometown of Pascagoula over there at Shaggy's down there on the beach.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, good gathering down there every Sunday for the Saints games. And they were a lot of gathering there on Saturdays for Ole Miss, too, you know, because that's Ole Miss country down there.
Yeah, some of your money went to Ole Miss. Didn't you send your daughter there? So.
Yeah, that's right, Bobby. Hey, how about that game? If you don't mind giving me just a minute, boy, that was a hell of a football game, huh, Bobby.
Oh, I tell you what, Ole Miss is the last hope for the SEC not getting embarrassed.
Right.
I don't know who's the top. Top conference. What have you done for me lately? Just look at the SEC bowl record and look like Mississippi State and Wake Forest and all. Just
pretty.
Yeah. So they better hope Mississippi State does something. I mean, Ole Miss. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But Steve, you kind of stole my thunder. Well, not really stole my thunder, but you had a lot of people hitting on the same thing. And I was talking to Charlie about this. Bobby, what do you think the odds are now at the number eight pick that Jeremiah Love is still on the board?
I think he will.
We need to gamble and trade up, and I hate to lose picks. I don't know about you, how you feel about that.
No, I think if they're picking the right – where they're picking, they don't have to – we need to keep picks. We need more players.
Right.
And
right.
So I don't think by us giving up capital, draft capital, I don't think we'd have that much of a positive impact that the one player to move up to get would
one
make
player.
That much of a difference. We need, yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more. That's what I was going to say. Boy, I just hope and pray he's there. But if not, I don't think we should trade up. I don't think I would trade up and lose multiple. We need multiple position, some players around.
Contributing,
contributing. Just come in and play. Like you said about Penning, we ain't got no damn time for projects. Your project day should be over with in college. When you come to the pros, you got to be a pro. We ain't got no time to be training your ass. You need to come out there and contribute and make plays for us.
Yep. Contribute from the get-go. And that'll be interesting to see in the future Because if we did a poll, how many Houdat Nations is in the Cesar Ruiz fan club? You know, because he was the number one draft pick. Now, latter part of first round. But has he really progressed? Or I think he's regressed. And then he's been damaged goods. And I kind of joked. I know he didn't want to play against the Titans and have to block Jeffrey Simmons. You know, and then stuff. So it might not mean, That might be a little more serious, but I don't know. Right now, you want Tyler Shuck to be able to step up, and you know, when we think McCoy's coming back at center, that okay, let's say they really love this tackle and he would start and dominate, because some people think Fuaga could play inside a guard. It might be a better guard than even tackle. Now, he had a little sophomore slump at right tackle compared to what he did at left tackle, but dealing with injuries. So, yeah, we still have a ways to go on offensive line. Listen, offensive line, that's one reason why Drew Brees will tell you why we were so good offensively, always in the top three. You know, we had skilled players and all that. You look at Reggie Bush, you look at Darren Sproles, Pierre Thomas, Alvin Kamara, you look at Marcus Colston, Michael Thomas, all the weapons, Jimmy Graham and all that. But I'm telling you, fans, we followed the ball. We were kicking ass. Like on the offensive line.
Up front.
Yeah.
In the trenches.
Well, we were always in the top five, if not top three.
Yeah. Well, your skilled players can only do so much if the O-line isn't kicking ass. If they're doing their job and buying the quarterback time and letting him slide around the pocket a little bit if he has to and extend plays, giving him a little time. And then, you know, they can't cover forever, and you got some real good players that can separate. It's, you know, anything can happen. But, you know, outside of that, Bobby, hey, I got to tell you a quick story, and then I'll let y'all go.
Okay.
To the next caller. I met a couple of your buddies over in Bay St. Louis where I was playing New Year's Eve, a big, tall fella named Hank and a fella named Wade, I think his name was. They had their wives with them. They said they were from down there in your part of the country. And they were talking. They said, "You the longshoreman."
Okay.
We had a nice time. I don't know if that rings a bell or not. Hank, and I'm pretty sure the other fellow's name was Wade.
Well, you should remember their last name, Longshoreman. They probably had some Cajun last name, French name.
Yeah, so. Hank, they were both had heavy accents, like as heavy as yours.
Okay. Probably heavier, yeah.
Heavier, because you've been staying around New Orleans too much. No, they're real cool fellas. We had a good time. I really enjoyed meeting them, and they'll probably.
Well, it looks like your music career is taking a giant step, Longshoreman. I'm proud of you.
Well, it's doing okay. I'm having a blast, Bobby. Having a blast playing around here on the coast and stuff. Yeah, and I got some more recording I'm about to go do up in Nashville. Hopefully, end of February, early March, I'm heading back up there to record a couple songs.
Yeah,
I got a real good.
When you say heading up to
Nashville, love this one.
When you say heading up to Nashville, is that?
Yes, I'm gonna head up there.
Well, you head up to Nashville, you got to represent the Houdat Nation. You can't be jumping on that Titans bandwagon.
Oh, you ain't got to worry about that, my brother. Ain't no Titan up here. We already tight enough.
All right, Longshoreman.
Thanks, Longshoreman.
Houdat.
Taking a break here on The Point After. You can also sound off with the Cajun Ken and Bobby Hebert if you want, folks. 504-260-1870. It's the season finale. Love to hear from you. We're here until 6 p.m. Sound off on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We'll be back with even more right after this, folks. Back here on The Point After, Saints lose, but we're still shucking it up, talking to all our great callers and texters on the talking text line, 504-260-1870. If you want to sound off, Mike in California, you are up next here on The Point After. What is up, Mike?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah. Gotcha. Hey.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Hey, it's a pleasure. I'm a lifetime New Orleans Saints fan, born in 65 in New Orleans. Makes me a lifetime Bobby Hebert fan.
Oh, okay.
So a pleasure to speak with you all.
Well, thanks for calling, Mike. What you got?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I want to address the elephant in the room. I think it's time to look at a replacement for Galliano. That's based on the special teams kind of being our downfall. I know they'll say Kellen Moore is the head coach, so he has the overall oversight. However, if you look at the groupie situation coupled with the Kroger situation, I think special teams also can make a big difference this year.
Oh, without a doubt, because we took that for granted over the past decade up until this season. The Saints were always amongst the best, where that was not the case.
We missed the Riz factor.
Yeah, And then he followed and you know, went from interim head coach to working with the Broncos now. So, no, I thought Darren Rizzi made a big difference. Now, I'm not trying to get anybody fired, but Phil Galliano has to look in the mirror and the organization about where do we rank, like, in all our units in the return game and how we could have made that better. And it was nothing right to write home about. They weren't difference makers in any game. And then we let Rashid Shaheed go. And then you look at the punter. I mean, all of that comes into play. And, no, Kellen Moore hires a special teams coach, but he doesn't coach the special teams. It's up to Coach Galliano to get that group right. Now, I thought at times, plug and play, there's a lot of different faces because, you know, you're always trying to save money with the salary cap and all that. Because you remember when all of a sudden we had Chris Banjo? And then I said, why did we let him go? And then we got better. Who's the guy I'm trying to think now from Mississippi State? End up going to the Ravens. Jerry Gray. Why am I thinking?
JT Gray.
JT Gray. Okay, and I was like, why did we let him go? So, you know, you have to look at the salary and what you're paying people and what comes about. So we have a lot of young guys in there. And Danny Stutzman is going to be very promising. I think not only as a linebacker, he contributed at a high level in special teams. And actually was up there. Now, Chris Rump came along with Coach Staley. Like Isaac Yadam. But Isaiah Stallberg was that guy. I had 14 tackles. Led special teams. Jalen Ford. So it wasn't that. We were used to having like all-pro special teams player. Like a Chris Banjo and JT Gray. Well, there's no one on our special teams units making all pro, put it that way. So, and Coach Galliano is the coach.
Thanks for chiming in, Mike, for the call. We're going to go now to Ed in Abita Springs on the point after. Ed, what you got for us tonight on the point after?
Hey, Bobby, listen, today my wife and I, after we got off the airplane, we caught the fourth quarter at your beautiful restaurant in Metairie. We had a great meal.
Oh, awesome.
While we were there, you're very welcome, man. Listen, while we were there, I was yelling in the fourth quarter. When we got the ball with 6 minutes left, we were down by six. And, you know, I'm saying, hey, let's run the ball down the field. Let's get first down after first down after first down. And let's score with 5 seconds left so that they don't have any chance to come back and kick a field goal. You said today every opposition team has kicked 10 out of 10 50-yard field goals. So my theory is you don't leave time on the clock. I'm so frustrated. We ran the ball with 7 or 8 plays, beautiful. The offensive line opening big holes right up the middle for the running backs, and then Chuck ran up the field about 25 yards. He took a dive. And I'm saying, yeah, okay, we're at the 25. Let's run the ball. We got 2 minutes left. Bobby, the first next play, after that first down, they try to throw a touchdown in the end zone. And we don't make the play. I'm thinking, heck, even if we make the play, we're going to kick the extra point. We're going to go up by one. And there's going to be 2 minutes left for the opposition to come down and kick a field goal. You don't leave time on the clock. So I was so frustrated when I was yelling, why are you throwing the ball? My food comes to the table. By the way, your service there is fabulous. The food comes to the table right when the very next play, they throw the interception. So I don't even get to see it, really, because I'm looking at that beautiful food, and I'm looking up and I'm seeing the ball going the other direction. I am so frustrated. I'd like you to ask, listen, I'm very grateful to Kellen Moore. I'm so hopeful for this team. I'm very happy. But I'd like you to ask him on a coach's show, why didn't you try to run the clock out and score a touchdown with just a few seconds left rather than try to throw the ball and leave 2 minutes on the clock? Thank you for listening, brother.
Yeah. I think overall we should have had more rushing attempts when all said and done. Like, Chuck didn't throw it 45, 50 times. He threw it 35. But we had only 26 attempts. Now, you could say, give or take a handful, can make the difference. The challenge is that Okay, to me, if you look at what the defense is doing and you could score, and we've been outstanding second half defense, scoring defense, but still you can still give up a long field goal. So ultimately you want to possess the football. What was the game? Was it at Carolina? I mean, we had like, it wasn't that 2 minute offense or 4 minute, it was like a 7 minute offense where we just keep making first downs and they don't even get the ball back.
I think that was Carolina, that game. Right.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's the ultimate victory formation when you get to do that. But then you can look at coaches and challenge them. Okay, look at Bijan Robinson, the kind of game that had against the Rams. Why did he only run the ball 15 times? Why did they only have 25 rushing attempts? So, I mean, it's like the chess match and what you're trying to do. But that's something where, okay, we scored too fast. We're going to give them all a chance to come back. It's just hard to score in general. So I think if the coach thinks there's a right play call, and if you look at that interception, if I can remember what, that was more that Chuck got fooled and squatting on the route, and you'll make a play on the ball, where that's when you'd almost want like a double move. And what I wanted to also run more against the Falcons, because how'd they get after the opposing quarterback? Again, that was not just like an opinion. The Falcons are like second in the NFL in sacks, and they had four today. You know, you talk about like getting after the quarterback. So that didn't surprise me. They're able to sack Chuck four times. So just based on that, handful of times, just running more at him maybe might have been a better option.
We're here on The Point After, taking a break. We'll be back with more as we wrap things up. Taking your calls to 504-260-1870. Be back with more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are kicking it here on The Point After, the Saints losing 19-17 in the finale at Atlanta. And we're going to find out now what's bugging Bobby about today's game. Brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. There are quite a few things, Cajun Cannon. I'm curious, what's bugging you the most about today's game?
Well, obviously, like beating a dead horse or kicking a man when he's down. It's the freaking first quarter.
I'm with you.
You can go run errands or do something, then, I don't want to miss the opening kickoff. Well, you're not missing much if you're a Saints fan. So, yeah, we've been outscored more than 4-1, 122-29. Yes, 29 points in 17 games. So what is that average? We played 17 games and we scored 29 points in the first quarter. So no, that's what's bugging me. Now, this has to change next year. I think that will change, obviously. We can't be that bad in the first quarter.
1.7.
So we average 1.7 points. You can't even score 1.7. It's not even a safety. You can't even score that 1.7. In the first quarter.
Bobby, I just got the chills looking at that. 1.7.
It's amazing we won six games. Whatever. But we finished so strong, you know, in the second half, fourth quarter. But anyway, this has to change for sure, because I think that will. And I thought maybe we're turning the corner. You have to be opportunistic, because when we've won championships, you got to take away the football. It's a combination of protecting it and taking it away. Like our very first win would be the Giants. We were +5. Got 5 takeaways in a row. And they come in bunches. They can come in bunches, but you need to end up on the plus side. You know, you can't, like I say, if you give one away, you got to get two back. And truly, if you look at that turnover margin, if you're hovering around double digits, that's like playoff type teams. Well, we ended up -4 for the season. That ain't good.
Not going to do it, right.
No. Next year, I can tell you right now, if we're in the minus category in that turnover margin, we will not win the NFC South, and we will not be a playoff representative. So I think we're going to do better. We are opportunistic about whether forcing fumbles or getting interceptions and be on the plus side in that turnover margin next year, because that's going to be, obviously, because of the parity, a big key to victory if you could do that.
Yeah, you know, the first quarter struggles were just so perplexing, and you'd figure at some point, you know, something would happen where they would get things going. We just really never saw them with that scripted plays. You figure too, they knew they had a plan going into things. They just was never able to execute. And a lot of times, too many times, we saw that opening drive end up with a turnover.
Turnover, three and out. You remember I told you one time we were in a little slump? I said, I'm going to make a damn three and out shirt. You know, just put three and out, you know. So, yeah, too many of those. And then you can't go up tempo if you're not converting or getting some kind of momentum. But, yeah.
And you mentioned up tempo. That seemed to work a lot for Shuck in this offense.
Yeah, and as the game progressed. But again, I even brought it up to Kellen Moore. Why don't we do that more in the beginning? He says, well, we have to get one first down to go up tempo.
Right, I got you.
And we're not able to execute. But that's a lot on Kellen right there because he puts the script. He's the play caller. So I'm sure he's going to burn the midnight oil and work on that in the offseason. Okay, what can we do to get off the fastest starts and not let the defensive coordinator, because they're figuring out what an opposing team is going to do and see can we have better, more positive plays to move the sticks and ultimately to score. Because you have to score to win. And you don't want to be always chasing points. We can't be down like 3-0, 7-0, 10-0, whatever. Then you're always playing catch-up. No, then you're going to be hovering around 500 if you're lucky. So if you win the double-digit winning season, no, we got to get off to faster starts.
Stepping away here on The Point After. We'll be back with even more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Closing up shop here on The Point After, the Saints falling 19-17, the season finale in Atlanta to those Dirty Birds. Black and gold finished the season 6-11. But like we talked about, Cajun Cannon, the positives. All right, they've got the 8th overall pick in the NFL draft secured, as well as a 4th place schedule for next season.
Yeah, and you should be able to build upon what you did this year. Now, we did build upon what we did last year. Bobby, what are you talking about? Well, we won 5 games, now we won 6. Now, I'm not saying 7-10, but I think great opportunity. NFC South's wide open, considering where all the teams are at. And I like our quarterback, the best out of all the 4 division teams. And so why not us? And I think we're going to be more familiar with one another. I think we're going to, and Coach Moore, Kellen Moore, is going to put a good mix of veteran leadership. That's why I don't think, or I should say, I think we should be able to work something out with Cam Jordan and DeMario Davis, because you need that veteran leadership, especially on the defensive side. And I know Brandon Staley trusts them. And on the offensive side right now, I think we have the leader in Tyler Shuck and how the players respect him. Now, it'll be interesting to see in the offseason, though, what they do with Chris Olave and Alante Taylor's contract. And Alante Taylor's been up and down. Chris Olave, I think I like those 100 receptions, all the touchdowns he caught this season. Then you ultimately want to be more consistent. So Alante Taylor, if we don't want him, somebody will want him. So
we're going to pause 10 seconds real quick. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Well, Cajun Cannon, like the season, the black and gold in games, first half team, we're a first half team in the season, as well as the, you know, coming down the stretch, they were able to close. Well, hopefully that goes a little bit better next year. You're back tomorrow with Mike Dottigli on Second Guess. Say goodnight to the Hoodats out there.
All right, Hoodat, go Saints.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report,